This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers, my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I'm changing it up for today, inshallah, until the end of the month of Ramadan. Today is the 2nd of April, 2021. And I always, transition from our regular class before the month of Ramadan into talking about Ramadan and some of the ways that we can benefit from the blessed month, particularly this year or the year that we are discussing. So I figured today, especially considering I did the Jumu'ah khutbah on Ramadan preparations, we'll recap that a little bit, inshallah, and we'll see how much of that I actually remember because I left my cue cards at home when I went home to eat lunch at 4:30 in the afternoon. So we'll recap a little bit, and then what I really want to do is just open it up for some Q&A. I know that many, many people have questions before the month of Ramadan, and they really want to ask those questions and have them answered. So this is the class. Today will be the time that you get to ask questions, and next Friday as well, we will also open it up for some questions before the month of Ramadan begins. Just to give you an idea as to what I'm going to be doing throughout this month of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, we will have our regular daily class that we do every single year throughout Ramadan. I'm just going to move this because it seems like the lighting is terrible. Absolutely terrible, in fact. Give me 30 seconds. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to step aside to get the light that I need to shine on myself so that everyone can see me properly. There we go. So what was I saying about Ramadan? So what we're going to be doing is every single day, inshallah ta'ala, we will have our Ramadan tafsir class where we learn some of the ayat from the juz of the day. And so every single day we will learn something together, inshallah. That will be after Asr. Sometime after Asr I will finalize the time, inshallah. Usually what I like to do is start 1 hour before Maghrib, 1 hour before Iftar time. That way it allows for everyone to know that, well, if Maghrib is at 8 o'clock today, then at 7 o'clock we're starting. And if Maghrib is at 8:25, then at 7:25 we're starting. Okay, so that's how I usually like to make it easy for everyone to keep track of the time. Okay. And in addition to that, we will have, the Quran quest that will take place throughout the month of Ramadan. And I know my wife is watching and she's probably like, oh man, completely forgot, need to make a poster. But we'll get that out to you, inshallah ta'ala. In addition to that, throughout the month of Ramadan this year in the masjid, we will be having four groups of prayer that will take place every single night. Very similar to Jumu'ah, there will be registration and the groups will rotate. Each group will be about 30 or 35 minutes of prayer in congregation together, and then that will rotate out to another group. The way it's going to go is there will be Salat al-Isha and some Raka'ah. I won't mention all the different numbers in each group, but there will be Salat al-Isha and some Raka'ah of Taraweeh every single night. For the first group, there will be four extra Raka'ah. The second group will be six. The third will be six. The fourth will be Isha, four Raka'ah, and Salat al-Witr afterwards in congregation as well. Now, for us to learn a little bit about the month of Ramadan, like I mentioned earlier today in the Jumu'ah khutbah, for those of you that were not or did not attend the Jumu'ah khutbah that I did today, just let me know in the comment section below or the chat section if you're on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, wherever you are. Just let me know if you did not attend. And if you did not attend, then it gives me a better idea as to whether I need to explain more or further into what I'm explaining or not, right? If you already attended, I don't want it to be redundant. So one of the things that we covered was that the month of Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed. And it is the guide that we use, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the month of Ramadan is a time that the, you know, first off, that the Quran was revealed within that month. Also, the fact that the month of Ramadan is a time of fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And we're going to take that ayah next week, inshallah ta'ala. You know, the fasting was prescribed on the previous nations, just like it is prescribed upon us. And so the month of Ramadan being the month of the Quran itself being something that guides us towards goodness, and it differentiates between what is right and wrong, isn't it? It allows us to further understand what is right according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is wrong according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right things or the good things are the things that we work towards, and the bad things are the things that we work towards staying away from. Okay, we try to stay away from those things. Now, if that's the month of Ramadan, and that's with regards to the Quran, and we know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that you are from amongst the best of people that came. And it's very interesting that we're from amongst the best of people, because we are the last nation to follow a prophet and messenger. What I mean by that is, out of the over 100,000 prophets and messengers that came in the history of humankind, right? Since the beginning of time, we are those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know that he is Khatim al-Anbiya, right? He is the last and final of the messenger, the last of the prophets to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recapping what we learned in Jum'ah, it's important for us to follow the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Quran. And the Quran itself is what guides us to goodness and khayr and barakah and all that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, yes, the month of Ramadan is important for us as Muslims, but every single day is important for us as well. And we should not disregard or ignore the fact that as Muslims, we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout every time of the year, every month of the year, right? We as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala submit to Allah. For example, right here, right now, what you are doing online, you are, inshallah, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeking some knowledge, by being genuine in your seeking of knowledge. So you are seeking or searching out this knowledge for your benefit, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt we need it for our own selves, right? To benefit ourselves and to become better people. But better people for the sake of pleasing Allah. I am not, or you are not, learning this knowledge in order to impress someone. Okay? We are not to learn knowledge to become smarter and wiser in order to show off, or to, you know, I remember back in the day, we would pick on some of the uncles when we were kids. We would consider them uncles. They're like, you know, 30 years old. You would see them coming to the masjid more frequently, and we used to say, oh, they're only coming to the masjid because they're interested in marrying that uncle's daughter, or, you know, they want to marry. We were kids, right? Like young, subhanAllah, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. But it's noticeable sometimes as children, you know, children notice things. They're like, oh, that person just wants to marry his daughter, and that's why he's coming to the masjid, and that's why he always stands next to this brother in salah to pray next to him and then talk to him and get to know him better, which is fine. Islamically, you know, this is how you get to know someone. But our intention for coming to the masjid shouldn't be that I'm going to pray next to my future father-in-law. The intention should be to pray for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submission to Allah, seeking knowledge for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person recognizes us along the way, great, all the better. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages goodness around us, as in he makes things happen to us that are good for us, that we want when we submit to Him. Okay, so the more we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the better things are for us. So that's one thing. Now, the fact that we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the month of Ramadan every single day, it is a test of our patience. Okay? A test of our patience. It's not easy to go that many hours without food. It's not easy to still have to go to work when you're tired and you're hungry. It's not easy to cook food for your family or for yourself when you're fasting throughout the day. It's much easier to say, you know, forget the food, I'm just going to order something and have it delivered because I don't want to smell the food in the house and that's going to make me more hungry. It's not easy. There's so many things that are not easy. But you'll notice that shaitan makes certain things easy. And yes, Ramadan is a month when shaitan is shackled and doesn't have that immediate or direct influence upon us. But at the same time, shaitan works on us throughout the whole year. And this is why I always encourage myself and others, throughout the whole year, we have to acknowledge the fact that we need to come closer to Allah and push shaitan away. Because when Ramadan comes around and shaitan is not having that direct immediate influence upon us, and we fall short, we miss prayers, we are lazy in doing things, we catch ourselves backbiting, catch ourselves lying, we catch ourselves doing things that are wrong or haram, it's because of our own selves. It's because of our own weakness. And throughout the whole year, we say, oh, shaitan, right? Shaitan's messing with you, right? Shaitan is messing with you. But here, when shaitan is not given that opportunity, it's because shaitan has messed with us so much and we've allowed, you know, we've allowed that negativity and evil within our lives on such a regular basis that it has become the norm. Okay, it's become the norm for those negative traits to be a part of our lives, or for us to give in to those negative traits and think that it's shaitan, but in reality it isn't. It's our own weakness. And so Ramadan is a time to gauge ourselves, right? How close are you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the things that we always think of, I'm sure you think of it, right? When I will pass away and leave this world and be placed into my grave and the angels come and they question me, man rabbuk, right? Who is your Lord? What is your, who do you follow? What is your way, right? Your deen. We think to ourselves when we're alive in this dunya that, it'd be easy. I know the answer to those. But the answer to those questions is not based on our understanding of it now, or our acknowledgement of it now. The ease in answering those questions and having them answered correctly is in our depth or level strength of iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we fast throughout the whole month of Ramadan, we fast for the sake of Allah. Some people say, I don't need to fast. That's giving up a pillar of Islam. We complain about giving up pillars of Islam. Yet, and this was one thing I heard the other khatib mention earlier today at Jumu'ah, yet we are so quick sometimes as Muslim or some Muslims to adopt the ways of non-Muslims, the ways that they celebrate their celebrations. We don't have, a Christmas tree. We don't have a Eid tree, but as Muslims sometimes now you see, oh, we have the Eid tree, right? We make it look like a crescent, but it's a tree. We don't need these things. We don't need to have them within our lives. We have certain aspects of our deen that we cherish. You know, celebrate Eid al-Fitr by having the Zakat al-Fitr delivered, by going and giving something to someone else. Celebrate it by feeling good that you did that good deed. Okay. Eid al-Adha, the same thing, that you give it away to someone else. We don't need to adopt the ways of other religions or other, faiths in order for us to still maintain our deen. And if we do, then it's a matter of our iman being weak, so weak that we are not able to protect ourselves from the harm that we live around us, or that live around us, I should say, that we live in. So my brothers and sisters, Ramadan is a time to reset. It's a time that we may not have direct and full access to the masajid like we typically do. I know throughout Ramadan, a lot of brothers and a lot of sisters, they like to come very early for Fajr, right? Or they like to come to the masjid throughout the day at Dhuhr time and stay for an hour and recite their Quran. We don't and won't have that ability this year. But that doesn't mean that Ramadan isn't there. The other night, a brother messaged and he says, so with the lockdown that's about to happen here in Ontario, that means there's no Ramadan at the masjid this year. Ramadan is not dependent upon access to a masjid or not. You do not need to have access to a masjid in order to celebrate Ramadan. While at the same time, alhamdulillah, we will have access to the masjid, right? We are able to operate at 15% capacity, which for us here at the Islamic Community Center of Milton is 225 people. But because of physical distancing, we have to maintain 6 foot distance from each other. Of course, while wearing masks and so on, following the guidelines, which we've been doing throughout the entire year now so far. We open up our registration for 190 people because that's what we're able to do with the physical distancing that's in place. So now with the reduction from 30% to 15%, we still are operating at the same capacity. It doesn't change anything for us. We will, of course, be more particular with things as we've been trying to be. But at the same time, alhamdulillah, it's a moment to do shukr, to be thankful to Allah, right? Raise your hands at night and make dua to Allah, but also do shukr. Allahumma inni ashkuruka ya Rabb. We thank you for allowing us to still have access to the masajid, allowing us this year to be in the masjid throughout the month of Ramadan because we were not able to last year. I remember last year, I rode my bicycle to the masjid. And it was quiet, it was empty, there was no one here. Came inside, prayed a little bit. This was before masks were even mandatory. It was so fresh and new. It was a very different time. But alhamdulillah, this year we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have access to the masjid. So I'm going to open it up for questions, please. Like I said earlier, I want to use this class today to allow you to ask your questions. Feel free to, to type in the comments or chat section. I will see that there, inshallah. Next week, we'll go more in detail of, things that we should do throughout this month of Ramadan, how we can prepare for it, how we can maximize the month, and things that we can do at home with our family members. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I'm going to say this again, okay? A lot of people misunderstand. They think Ramadan is the traditional thing that we always did and we were always brought up upon. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pray Salat al-Isha during the month of Ramadan and go home and rest and get up in the night and pray in the later part of the night. We do the opposite. We come for Isha, we stay, we pray, we go home, we chill. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took some time at night to rest and then got up and did ibadah until the morning. Okay, so there's a little bit of a difference there. And I know that we work, I know we have different schedules here in North America, our timing, we have obligations with regards to, commitments at work and so on that we have to respect. That's fine. No one's saying anything about that. I smell something burning. Why do I smell something burning? So again, please type in the chats. I don't know what it is, but something smells like it's burning. Any questions you have, feel free to type it in there, inshallah. Allahu a'lam. Maybe it's not in my office. Okay, so one of the questions here is, what's the minimum age for fasting? So once a person becomes mature, okay, that is when they have to fast. What does that mean? In terms of number, we don't put a specific number Islamically because everyone becomes mature at a different time. You'll find some people become mature at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Generally, the scholars say by the age of 15, if a person is not fasting yet, then they should start fasting. They should pray. They should be praying all of their prayers because the mind is developed at that time. Now, there's some things that we look for. Of course, those who attended our fiqh classes, you know very well that, or you know very well what things to look for to identify whether someone is mature or not. For a sister, it might be that she gets her period. That means that you now are mature. Okay, pubic hair, you know, armpits and the private parts, right? You get that. Having a wet dream, and I'm just going to say things very bluntly, very straightforwardly, and you as parents will have to explain it to your children what that means. Okay, having a wet dream, that you know, means or indicates that a person is mature. They're thinking of things already that a person who is mature would think about. So those are signs for maturity within Islam. When a person reaches that stage in their life, they must begin fasting. They must pray their 5 daily prayers. They now must go for Hajj if they're able to and have the financial means. They, of course, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a pillar of the deen. And they must pay zakat if they have something in savings that they keep with them for a year that reaches the minimum amount, which is known as a nisab. Earlier today, I made a joke with some of the imams. They typed it in a group question, and one of the imams typed nisab, but it auto-corrected it to nisan. You know, like the car manufacturer, Toyota, Honda, Nissan. So I cracked a joke there and I was like, I don't suggest people, you know, pay zakat on a Nissan. Or I didn't say pay zakat on a Nissan. I said, I don't encourage to go with a Nissan. I would prefer or encourage, you know, Toyota or Honda as a joke. So subhanAllah, the imam was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, the young imams make jokes about these things. Alhamdulillah. So I felt good, still considered young amongst the more senior imams. Alhamdulillah. Question here from Marwa. Will there be i'tikaf this year? No. As of right now, we've decided that we will not be having i'tikaf. It is too complicated with the guidelines that we need to respect. People have to, especially considering there's a lockdown now that we're beginning from midnight tonight, it's going to be very difficult to have people stay here for i'tikaf. We have to respect the guidelines that are put in place in order to look after the health of everyone. And you cannot maintain people in a bubble when every single night 1,000 people are coming and going from the facility. And then there's, you know, sanitization of bathrooms and kitchen and food and utensils and stuff like that. It's just very, very complex. So no, not this year, inshallah ta'ala. What's the ruling for someone who smokes marijuana during suhoor time? Is his fasting valid or void? Secondly, what is the ruling for smoking weed and praying salah? Okay, so smoking marijuana is haram. It is not permissible because it harms the body. And the majority of the scholars, you know, are of the opinion that it is haram because of the negative impact that it has on the body. Now, if someone smokes it during suhoor time, they're doing something that is haram. It's a sin. Okay, it's like someone saying, what if I drink a beer during suhoor time? It's haram. You're not allowed to consume it. Okay, now you're consuming something that is haram, and the question is his fasting valid or void? Well, it depends on whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to accept it or not. A person should ask themselves, I'm doing this action, am I pleasing Allah? No. So if I'm not pleasing Allah, I still expect him to accept my fasting? Kind of sounds weird, doesn't it? Like if you ask that question to a child, they'll give you the answer as well. They'll be like, no, you can't displease someone and expect them to still be they can do good things for you. You can't upset your parents all the time and still expect them to allow you to have candy and chocolate and chips and stuff like that, okay? And the same goes for the second part of the question. What's the ruling for smoking weed and praying salah? It is now going into a different topic in the sense that, you know, smoking weed takes the mind away. It's very similar to drinking alcohol. Of course, we know it has a different effect, right? We're not ignorant in that sense as imams. We know that there's a different effect. We don't have to have consumed it in order to know that a person acts differently. There's a lot of research and just general observation that we can make. I've never smoked weed. I've never drunk alcohol, but I've been around people who have both been drunk as well as high and stoned. And we know very well that they're not in their right state of mind. So should a person be praying their prayers in that condition? No. A person is not allowed to Islamically pray when they are drunk because they may say something or do something that's haram in the prayer. And I would say the same thing for someone who is high after smoking marijuana. Cigarettes also damage the body. Is it also haram? Yes. Okay, yes, cigarettes are haram. And some people will say, but how come some of the scholars say it's makruh? Those scholars say that it is makruh to smoke cigarettes if you already smoke them, as in if you're already addicted to them, but it's haram for you to start. I say that that doesn't make sense. I remember learning this when I was young in the masjid, and I would question the imam of the masjid. That ruling or that opinion doesn't make any sense. How is it haram for someone to start, but makruh for someone who's addicted? And his answer was, well, if someone is addicted, they can't control it. Something is beyond their means. Haram is haram. Okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. I mean, can you do i'tikaf at home? So the i'tikaf of Ramadan is to be done in the masjid. And I know some people will say, but according to the Hanafi madhab, we can do it at home. No. Okay. I know people say, well, according to the Hanafi madhab, we can do i'tikaf at home. The i'tikaf of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not done at home. Then when you have this conversation with some scholars, they say, okay, but if men and women are having i'tikaf in the masjid, then there's a chance that something haram may happen. Well, there's a chance of something haram may happen when they're standing outside and walking down the street. There's a chance of something haram happening when people are anywhere in society. Why do we think in such a strange way about people in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where people know I am under the direct watch of Allah anywhere, now in the house of Allah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. We are not allowed to worship or do anything outside of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us in the masjid. Why would anyone do that? Like, oh, you know, people, human beings are weak, so women should do i'tikaf at home. No, women do i'tikaf in the masjid. And any masjid that I would be given full authority to make this decision on, I'll say this. I would try to the best of my ability to encourage a space for brothers and a space for sisters to do i'tikaf because it is something that is permissible Islamically and they have a right to do so. And the women should be able to perform i'tikaf in the masjid as well. Now, every masjid has, you know, a different setup. There might be no access to a shower. There might not be access to, kitchen, food area, and stuff like that. So every masjid, look, we don't criticize. Every masjid has its own, I see the police right outside my window. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Khair inshallah. Every masjid has to come up with what it needs to do, right? Based on its circumstances, we leave it at that, inshallah. Okay, brother, I'm not really fine. Brother, my family is starving since yesterday. The child is crying. So. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, Uthman. You're in Gambia, West Africa. I would encourage you to reach out to Spot Project. They're in Gambia as well. Maybe they know someone or a place that can help you. There are organizations here within Canada if you want to reach out to. Relief organizations that work in different countries like ICNA Relief. I would encourage you to reach out to them since you have access to the internet. Just type in ICNA Relief or Islamic Relief or IDRF. You know, these are organizations that do relief work in other countries. Please forgive me, I don't do relief work through my social media platforms. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and your family. The advice that I can give to you for this and the way that I can help is for you to reach out to those organizations, inshallah ta'ala, that can help you. Please, you know, share your details and information with them, and inshallah ta'ala, they will be able to help you with whatever is within their means, whatever they're capable of doing. Okay. Another question here is, how do I calculate zakah? What time frame? From the day of my shahada or full year? Thanks. Okay. So, Sister Melissa, from zakat is calculated, you know, I would say if you're the Melissa that I know just took your shahada not too long ago, so you'd have to basically have had that wealth in savings for 1 year. So if you had it in savings for 1 year. Now, zakat, of course, as a new Muslim, we would say, okay, look at your wealth. If you've had it for 1 year, or from the year that you became a Muslim, then you know it's due upon you. Remember, zakat is from our savings, so it's not like, okay, I have to wait a year in order to pay that zakat. If you have it and you've had it for a year, and you're a Muslim and you want to pay on it, then that's good. Okay, that's good and that's encouraged. How you calculate zakah, I would encourage you to go to nzfcanada.com. nzfcanada.com. It stands for National Zakat Foundation Canada. Okay. They have a full breakdown. They even have a zakah calculation guide. And they have an app that you can simply plug in the details. It'll ask you, do you have this? Do you have property? Do you have an income? Do you have, you know, savings? Do you have gold? Do you have silver? Do you have RSP? Do you have whatever you have? You just plug in the details and it will calculate for you how much zakah you have to pay. It'll ask you when, you know, how long have you had this wealth? And it will let you know exactly whether you need to pay now or later and how much it is, right? So that is something that I would encourage you to do. Once again, it's nzfcanada.com. Okay, National Zakat Foundation. The fidya set this year, that's a good question. I haven't asked many of the other imams yet what they are suggesting or encouraging. Usually based on the previous year, it was $10 last year. I like to encourage a little bit more. If people are able to pay a little bit more, like set it at about $12 or $13. But generally, you know, majority of the imams within the GTA were saying that they are going with $10. That was last year, though. This year, it will most likely still be $10. I was pushing last year for $15 because I feel that us living here in North America, we should be able to pay a little bit more than $10. The average meal that we go to the restaurant and buy like a decent meal is more than $10. When we're cooking at home, sometimes even the meal we're preparing at home, if you buy like a piece of salmon or some chicken and you have some rice and a dessert and stuff like that, you're looking at a little bit over $10 as well. So, you know, $10 I think is a fair amount. And if anyone wants to set it a little bit higher for themselves, then feel free to do so. The more we give for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more in return. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Probably not the form to ask, but if you can answer. Is Islamic mortgage okay, although they are charging fees just like banks charge interest and call it mushaqqa and mudaraba? Isn't it the same thing? Okay, so again, that's not the platform for this. And I usually say to people, you know the answer, you know what I'm going to say about it. You can go back and look at our fiqh classes on, we've discussed this in detail. The Islamic options, I know people say, well, it's too expensive, it doesn't make sense. At the end of the day, it's the next best thing that Muslims have in Canada that we can use aside from going the conventional route, okay, which is through the banks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. All right, let's give it another minute for any last minute questions. If not, we'll end the session, inshallah. Just double check I didn't miss anything here on Instagram. Barakallahu fikum, Atif. What was that? Is something haram? Oh, saw something about something. Okay, no, we already saw that. Good. All right, so I don't see any other questions. We'll end the session for today, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum. We do have our fiqh class on Sunday evening. What I will most likely do is go over a review of the chapters in fiqh related to fasting and iftar and suhoor, and when do we look for, when do we end eating in the morning at suhoor time, which is a question I'm surprised nobody asked. Iftar, do we have to wait for the adhan to be finished? One question is, well, if one masjid has one calendar time for iftar and another one has a different time, why is there a discrepancy there? So these are all questions that you should be asking yourselves and trying to find out if you don't know the answers to. But we'll leave that for Sunday night. And next Friday night, we will do a general class on what the community likes to call welcome Ramadan or welcoming Ramadan, to go over some of the aspects of Ramadan, the benefits of it, the benefits of fasting, the reward involved in fasting throughout the month of Ramadan, and so on and so forth. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum. I see one, two, I think there's three police cars outside now, and the road is blocked. So I'm going to end the session and go outside and see what's going on. I'll see you all soon. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.